Welcome to Radio Today broadcasting in Johannesburg on 1485 AM and nationally on DSTV Audio, channel 869.
It's Thursday. It's 2 o'clock. It's time for...
Snips and Snippets.
Yes, that's right. And a very good afternoon from me, Jonathan Taylor, from Eddie Masacci on my right as usual. And the voice you heard introducing the show was that of guitarist, singer, automotive journalist, Kieran Rennie. Welcome, Kieran.
Thanks. Hi. Good to be here. Thank you very much.
Yeah. What's the automotive journalist is a fairly new thing. Was that a surprise to you? Did you just drop into that or have you always enjoyed? I know you've always been a petrol head. But
yes.
But how did the writing come about?
Yeah, well, I mean, very, very surprised, I guess. As you say, petrol head. I was a petrol head long before I was a musician. Mm. I come from a car family.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, I know. And when I, about 3 years ago, I started to sort of realize that I didn't know if I could rely on this music thing as much as I have been. I'd had a very good run, sort of playing full time, performing full time for, you know, practically 20 years.
Mm.
And, I'd met Stuart Johnson, who's a famous motoring journalist in this country, and I'd met him, ironically enough, through my wife, Ashley, who's an actor who you know, and Ashley was acting with Stuart's wife in a play at the Market Theatre, and I'd met up with Stuart Johnson, and the first thing I said to him was, hey, you know...
That's Shirley.
Shirley Johnson, that's correct. And the first thing I said to Stuart was, hey, you know, I can write and I know about cars. And he shot me down immediately and he said, we're not looking for writers. We're looking for salespeople. So that was my end. And a couple of months later, he called me and he said, no, we really are looking for a salesperson to sell advertising for the magazine. And I jumped at the opportunity because I knew that that was having sort of no journalistic qualifications. And I've done some writing for corporates in the entertainment world and done some writing for the Barnyard and stuff like that, but you know, nothing at that level. So going in from the sales route was my way of getting involved, and Stuart very quickly sent me on launch for Audi. It was my first thing, and off I went, flew off to Cape Town. You stay at a lovely hotel and you eat at a wonderful restaurant, you drive Audis around all day. So things could be worse. So, and that was about 2.5 years ago. And so now I work at the, in the Times Media building up the road here.
And has Ashley given you a lot of help in your writing? I mean, when you first started, would you write an article, for instance, and say to Ashley, what do you think?
Totally. And Ashley is so good. You know, she's been writing professionally, you know, for so many years now. So she's my first line of edit.
Just before we go any further, just in case my listener, and I know she's listening because she told me she's listening. hi, listener. Just in case my listener's wondering why there's only one person in the studio, Russ Barenberg, who is the other guest, has been held up just a little bit and hopefully will dash into the studio in just a few minutes. I know about 10 minutes ago they were on William Nicol on their way coming. So I hope they find it, and I hope they get you before the show is over. But in the meantime, in fact, I see the door opening, and in comes a guy who looks like Russ Barenberg, because I saw his picture on the website, and I assume the other one is his promoter, VM Otto.
Yes.
That's right.
That's me.
Yeah. Welcome, Russ.
Thank you.
Glad you could get to us.
I'm glad I could get to you,
too. You're going to be given a set of headphones.
Okay.
And... welcome. Now, you had a gig, first of all, meet Kieran Rennie.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Who is also a guitarist of note.
Okay, cool.
Especially got another guitarist to join you, so we could have a little musical contest between guitarists. VM did brief you that it's not just an interview and a chat, is it? He did.
I don't know what the contest is. He said there was a contest. I have no idea what it is.
It's a little musical trivia game in which, in fact... in a couple of minutes, we'll start the first one.
Okay.
But first, I want to say welcome to South Africa. Now, you had a gig in Pretoria on Wednesday, on Tuesday night.
I played at the Barcelona Cafe on Tuesday, and then I played a very nice house concert last night, also in Pretoria,
Like a soiree.
At a private.
Totally piano. Acoustic without.
No. Yeah.
Without
PA. Sound.
That is my absolute favorite. I'm a guitarist as well, and I'm also an acoustic finger picker. I'm sure not quite up at your level, but isn't that the best when it's totally totally intimate? It's a complete natural sound.
Yeah.
That's kind of when music gets the purest, isn't it?
Well, I like it the best. I really love playing in those situations because, you know, it's very close contact with the audience and you feel it's more informal, but
yeah.
Playing without a sound system, if you can do it, if it's a good sounding room, is great.
Absolutely, and if you've got a decent sounding
guitar.
The
guitar has a more complex sound than you can reproduce. It becomes a different thing.
Absolutely.
Even on a good microphone.
Yeah. Or even with a good pickup, then...
Well, not so much with a good pickup. Well, pickups don't do it that much.
Acoustic pickup. I was going to say most acoustic, electroacoustic guitars, once they put through a system, they sound somewhere between acoustic and electric.
Well, it's a different instrument. I have to use it sometimes, you know, for because of the situation, but I don't like it very much. Even though I work hard to get a good sound... But I usually try to mix it with a mic, good microphone as well.
So if you're working in a big concert hall, for instance, you'd rather have a mic in front of the guitar, picking it up acoustically.
Sometimes the pickup helps a little bit to solidify the sound. If I'm playing in a very large ensemble, like I do this thing called the Transatlantic Sessions in the UK, and that's often, you know, 15 people on stage with piano and drums and stuff, I have to use the pickup. A microphone can't handle that, but a good combination of the two, and you can use more microphone in the house if you need, and if you need less in the monitor, because that's where you have the problems.
Yeah, and of course it's that exact situation which led to the development of the electric guitar. When in the old days guitarists were acoustic, and then drums and bass started getting louder, and brass, and the guitars were pretty much getting lost in the band.
Well, they did have a way of mixing those nice old arch-top rhythm guitars, acoustic.
Yeah.
The guy I played with, Count Basie, he just jacked the action up and pumped that thing for all it's worth. Yeah. And it was more of a percussion instrument in a way than anything else.
Before we go any further, I just want to tell my listener, and we'll get back to details later, you're performing tonight. At TJ's Acoustic Club at Marks Park.
Yes, that's Marks right. Park. Definitely.
Well, that's the name.
That's the name of the
sports club where the venue is.
Yes. So
have you seen
yes.
the venue?
No, I haven't been there yet.
It's a lovely venue. I think you need a bit of miking there, unless everyone's very quiet.
Now we'll set. I think we're set up a sound system.
Set up a sound system. Yeah. But now we're going to throw you in the deep end because we're going to play snips and snippets. And just to remind my listener and to fill you in. I have got three tiny little snips of music, which I've edited out of certain pieces of music.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you and Kieran to try and identify the name of the piece of music and the name of the artist. And if you get it on the first one, it's 3 points. 1 point for the artist. On the second one, it's 2 points. And just to give you a clue, they're all guitarists today.
So we do this together, or
you do it together?
Like we can consult and see if we
get No.
Competing.
You're competing against
each competing.
Other.
Oh, we're competing. Okay.
You see, there's my scorecard that I've been very optimistic because I've taken it all up to 20, and there are no rules about who answers. Whoever says the right one first.
So we just shout them out there, right?
Just into the mic. Yeah.
Right.
Just a word of warning. There is a particular specific wrong answer. Oh, excuse me. It's contagious. which, if you give me that specific wrong answer, I deduct a point.
Why is there how does that work?
Well, you'll get
I'll
it.
I'll see it. Okay.
I'll give you any...
I'm not worried. I'm prepared to be a miserable failure at this. I'm fully prepared.
That's what I like in my guests. In fact, I think that's... Isn't that necessary for anyone in the arts? You have to be prepared to be a miserable failure.
Well, not a miserable failure,
sometimes. Okay, I'll give you an example.
But this is low stakes here, man.
Yeah, absolutely low stakes. In a previous show, I played the Habanera from the opera Carmen. Uh-huh. And the question was, who composed it?
Mm-hmm.
And the specific wrong answer was Georges Bizet, because he actually stole it from someone else. He thought he was.
Oh, so you're going to try to really trick us here?
Yeah. Well, no, it's just this one. It's just this one, which you.
Okay.
Snip number one of number one, please, Eddie. Any ideas? Name of the piece? It was a big hit in the 60s, late 60s.
No.
No clue.
Snip
no.
number two,
no
please,
clue.
Eddie.
Well, I forget what that's called.
The song starts to sound familiar here, but I...
Yeah. I've obviously picked my snips well. When
or you're guessing correctly.
It slowly seeps in. Snip number three, Eddie, for 1 point. No. Okay. Well, we've stumped you the very first time.
I mean, I've heard it, but I have no idea.
The name of the piece. The name of the piece is Classical Gas.
Oh, that's right.
Of course.
I did know that.
You did know that. The name of the artist. Who's playing the guitar there?
That I don't know. Idea. Wasn't this tune written by somebody else? This
was. Yes.
It was written by an acoustic guitar.
It was written by Mason Williams, right. And that would have been the specific wrong answer because it's actually been played by Glenn Campbell. With the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra. Yeah.
Go Glenn.
Go Glenn.
Is Glenn playing guitar there?
Yeah.
Glenn's playing guitar.
Wow,
now, a lot of people don't know that Glenn was one of the top session guitarists in L.A. before.
I did not know that.
That I do know. Yeah, I should get 3 points for knowing that.
Yeah, you should get 1 point.
Kieran, if you... You know, I judge the show the way I do when I umpired cricket.
Right.
If the opposing captain agrees,
yes,
then it's fine. So you agree that Russ should get...
He should get points there. I don't
so
know.
Russ
I wouldn't
has
say
three. Points.
I think three is.
Well,
three
Russ
is.
Said three, and you agreed.
But I only said I knew Glenn Campbell was a studio guitarist.
Yeah.
After you said it, so you have no idea whether I'm telling the truth.
All right,
I'll split the difference. He gets 2 points.
2 points. I'll give you one, Kieran. Then, you know, just for being kind. So, without doing anything, Russ is ahead by 3 points. Now I've got a few trivia questions about Glenn Campbell.
Wow. Do you know how old I am, John?
Pardon?
Do you know my age?
You're a guitarist. you should know all guitarists. Besides, we give...
No, I don't follow guitarists.
We give advantages to the alta cacas here, you know.
Right, okay.
From December 64 to early March 65, Campbell was a touring member of a pretty well-known band. Do you know what the name of that band was?
No.
No.
Give me the dates again.
64-65. I'll give you a clue. He had to fill in for one of the lead players who was pretty zonked out on drugs and just couldn't do anything.
That could be any band.
No, in the 60s, it was every band. I want to say it's the the Beach Boys, but I'm not convinced.
A point for you, because it is the Beach Boys.
Okay.
Yeah. So
good work.
There we go. You're catching up. Campbell made history in 1967 at the Grammys. How did he do that? 1967. No?
No.
He won 4 Grammys.
Okay.
At the same... In the same year. For 2 different songs. And I'll give you a point if you can tell me what each of those songs were. Think of them.
Wichita Lineman.
Wichita Lineman wasn't one of them, actually. So it's probably the other two.
What's the John Hartford thing? By the time I get to Phoenix.
By the time I get to Phoenix is one of them.
That's not the John Hartford one, but...
No, who wrote by the... That was Jimmy Webb, of course.
Yeah.
Which, as was Wichita Lineman and Galveston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And MacArthur Park, which we were talking about in...
Right.
On the studio. But let's take a break now and listen to Glenn Campbell and the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra live at the Royal Festival Hall with Classical Gas.
You ready, Alan? All righty. I promised Alan that we would do a classical number if he would conduct the Philharmonic for us, so we will do that for him right now. This was written by a friend of mine in Los Angeles by the name of Mason Williams, and I love the song. It was a big hit over here, too. It's called Classical Gas. Thank you.
The king of romance, Engelbert Humperdinck, performing his greatest hits live in concert.
Please release me.
November 23rd, 24th and 25th at the Teatro at Monte Cassino. Don't miss this intimate evening with Engelbert Humperdinck. Book now at CompuTicket. Brought to you by Showtime Management.
Garden Shop is more than a wonderful garden experience. They integrate home decor, pet, pool, flower and coffee shops to ensure a total shopping and leisure experience at all their branches. With shops countrywide, there's a garden shop near you. Just call 0861 427 336 for details of your nearest garden shop or visit their website at www.gardenshop.co.za. Garden Shop.
Hi, I'm David Severs.
Hi, you're listening to Harry Sideropoulos.
I'm Malcolm Terry.
Hello, from Michael Richard.
Hello, from Fiona Ramsey.
And if you're listening to us, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
And here on Radio Today, Russ Barenberg is leading Kieran Rennie by 4 points to 2. Which is not surprising.
It was purely a gift.
It was purely a gift from
these
Kieran.
People. These South African people are so generous.
So generous,
kind.
Yeah. The voice in the background, which you may or may not have heard, it is another guitarist, by the way, called VM Otto. And maybe we should bring this in because the impression I have, because you were held up and we couldn't have a briefing before, the impression I had is that you are the promoter. You have the one who's brought Russ here. Vim, come to the mic, Vim. Come, Vim. Don't be shy. Tell us how Russ happens to be in South Africa.
You want the long story or the shorter story?
Not too long. We've only got another 40 minutes left.
Okay, no, it's not very long. It's just initially I approached Russ to be a producer on a idea of arranging Afrikaans folk songs that I arrange in an acoustic music bluegrassy style.
Right.
And I approached Russ to be the producer, and that was how I initially met him.
And now, where was this?
I emailed him.
You emailed him, right.
Yeah, well, over the internet and Skyped and so.
So you were one of those rare South Africans who actually had heard of Russ Barenberg.
One of the fortunate ones. And then from there, I just introduced the idea of for us to come host a guitar workshop, which we had this previous weekend in Nailstrom.
Right.
We had 17 guys and it was great. And then just tried to organize a couple of gigs so it just doesn't come out for a weekend, you know.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, thank you, VM. Anyway, that was VM. But getting back to Russ, as I was saying while we were listening to Glenn Campbell, is the impression I had was that you were a bluegrass player, but of course it's much broader than that.
When I was a kid, I listened to bluegrass and learned from it for sure, and used to go see a lot of the bluegrass bands.
Why is it called bluegrass?
Because this music really started in 1946 when Bill Monroe brought a particular band together. Bill Monroe was considered the father of bluegrass.
Okay.
He's a mandolin player and singer. He had been singing and playing with his brother Charlie, who played mandolin. They just had a duo. And I think they had a falling out. It was a combination of things. I think most of it had to do with the Earl Scruggs coming on the scene. He has, from Flatten Scruggs. Because his banjo style...
The guru of bluegrass banjo, isn't he?
Yeah, well, he's started playing with Bill Monroe, and Lester Flatt was the guitar player and singer. And they had fiddle and bass. And that specific combination of instruments with that particular approach to playing in an ensemble with the Scruggs is a very distinctive three-finger rolling, very driving style of banjo playing. And so it came together in this band. So it was really a contemporary thing in a way in country music at the time. And it sort of has developed from there. But it's called bluegrass because there's a particular variety of grass called bluegrass.
Because
the nickname of the state of Kentucky is the bluegrass state. And that's where Monroe was from, I believe. So he just used it as a name for his band. They were called Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys. Mm. And so because it's so crystallized into something that people tried to imitate.
Yeah.
And to this day, you know, there's a tradition that started from there.
Yeah,
the type of music is now called bluegrass, but it really refers to a fairly specific format and style of playing.
Yeah, I'm amazed. I didn't know it was that recent. I thought it was something that
what came before.
Yeah,
from various kinds of music from Appalachia and country music, and there had been earlier country music recordings starting in the 20s, and it had been played. A lot of it comes from a combination of fiddle tunes played for dancing, like square dancing.
Yeah.
Old songs that probably many of which came over from Europe and were sort of gradually transformed into something else.
What would you say?
And
some
also
of the
black music, the blues and stuff that was going on in the South. There's some that influence in bluegrass.
I was going to say, because there's a lot of crossover. There's a Paul Simon song, "Gone at Last," which, if I listen to it with my left ear, it's pure Southern gospel. Negro music.
Well, there's a lot of gospel music because it was church music.
And with the other ear, it's pure bluegrass.
In the South, there's a lot of big gospel influence in that. And, it was just a particular group of people that came together and had this their own style and their own way of forming an ensemble.
Right.
You know, a group, each instrument had its sort of function, and the whole thing just really worked well.
So one hates putting styles into compartments, but if you were to describe your own style and your own music and your own compositions, where would you put it, or would you not want to put it anywhere?
I wouldn't want to put it anywhere. I think you just have to listen to it and just
what are your main influences
to it and experience it. But I do write bluegrass is one of them, and fiddle tune kind of dance music, Doc Watson, early influences. And then I've just, we all hear everything now. That's the thing about these days. It's different than before when things were regionally isolated. So I've heard, I listen to a lot of jazz. I listen to Brazilian music. I just about anything you
Catholic
can think
tastes,
of.
In other words.
But my writing is, I think, is fairly melodic based, and has a little bit of Latin influence, some has more bluegrass, some has. I've played a lot with British Isles musicians in the last 20 years. So it's
any name dropping you'd like to do?
Well, I don't know if you know them, but it's this project I do called the Transatlantic Sessions, which is a series of television shows produced for the BBC and shown there.
Have we had them here?
No, Kieran? I haven't heard of them.
Just reminding you that Kieran is here. Remember, if you want to say anything, Kieran,
I'm being educated as well here. Educated. It's fantastic.
Well, let's educate our ears a little. We'll listen to not the whole track, because there's a lot of stuff we need to get through in the hour. But this is some of the number that you...
This is one I wrote. It's on my most recent record. And nominated for a Grammy for Best Country Instrumental Performance.
Great. Well, let's hear some of Little Monk. Thank you. That's really nice, and some nice dobro playing there too. Is that you?
No.
Who is it?
It's Jerry Douglas.
Oh.
Who's really the master of this instrument, best in the world. He's invented a language with it that is just, he's an amazing musician. Not just dobro player, but he's got such good ears. He's a guy who can play on any song and immediately make it sound three times better, because he just has a great ear for just the right part to play to enhance it. He's a beautiful, beautiful player.
For the benefit of my listener who's not a guitarist, tell us what the dobro is. I mean, the dobro sound for me is pure American, like the banjo. But we don't get a lot of dobro here.
Well, banjo is originally from Africa, you know.
This I know, too.
Yeah.
But nowadays, when you hear banjo and dobro, you think American folk music. How does the dobro differ?
The dobro is actually a form of, it's a slide guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It's made of wood, but it has a metal resonator,
right,
which is what makes
which gives it that twangy, that metal sound. Yeah.
And those types of things they started to build them, twenties and thirties, I think, just to make guitars louder so they could be heard.
Right.
It's like a little speaker cone in the instrument, essentially.
Yeah.
The dobro slide guitar dobro has a square neck, so you can't really play it like a regular guitar. You play with a steel bar, much like a pedal steel, but it's an acoustic instrument, and you play it, you hold it flat.
You're on your lap.
Okay, like a pedal steel, yeah.
Yeah, either on your lap or on a strap up against your stomach.
And for my listener, if you don't know what a pedal steel guitar is, think of a metal amplified Hawaiian guitar. It's kind of similar kind of sound. And
yeah, well, that's what but the instrument was actually invented by two Czechoslovakians, brothers.
Right.
And it was, you know, people in country music found a use for it.
Dobrovnik?
Dopera. I think they were Czech. Dopera brothers. Maybe they were Italian. I don't know. I think Czech.
So which kind of, what's your favorite acoustic guitar, Kieran? We're talking acoustic guitars now.
I suppose if I had any money, then I would buy a Gibson, very similar to the one that we've just heard on that track. But there are a lot of money in this country.
I've got a lot of money anywhere.
Yeah.
I think.
I guess that would be that would be my favorite acoustic guitar. I don't play a lot of acoustic guitar anymore. I'm playing sort of mainly electric guitar.
Yeah. Russ, do you play electric as well?
Not much. There were times when I did and tried. You know, I used to play in like a Chicago blues band for a while when I was. This is years ago when I was in college, but I never took to it quite the same way that I did to acoustic, and I really hardly play it.
There's something about that natural live acoustic sound which
I don't know. Some people just, you know, I don't know what it is. They're great electric guitar players that are, you know, just sound tremendous to me, but it's a different technique, and
it is.
I just kind of ended up being more taken with this. It's sort of it's what I started with, and what I initially learned when I was young was a couple of different ways of playing acoustic guitar specifically.
Well, we're going to go on to another round of snips and snippets. Let's go to number three, Eddie, because this is a guitarist who's equally at home on electric and acoustic, and I'll give you a clue. He often plays electric guitar, acoustic style, you know, finger picking with a capo. He doesn't mind. He's given license to a lot of us to cheat that way.
Is it Mark Knopfler?
You get a point.
He jumped in just before I was going to jump in.
It's Mark Knopfler. But see if you know the song, because it's one of the snip number one of
don't know this one.
And this one is, in fact, it's not Dire Straits. It's Knopfler solo.
No.
I don't know the name of the song.
No.
But no. It was more getting to Mark Knopfler. That was the point. Go jump to snip number three, Eddie, because then we hear him sing.
Hunted down I came upon.
Sorry?
A place of ferns and grass.
Not going to get it.
Gathered to, and then the title comes in.
No, not going to get it.
No, it's a red bud tree. But it is one of the more obscure ones. I thought having professional guitarists, I may be able to get
Do I get a point for having seen Mark Knopfler in South Africa when he was here?
That's up to Russ. How generous is Russ?
Yeah, give him a point.
Give him a point.
Give him 10 points.
Okay. No, just one. The points are 5-3 at the moment. A couple of quick questions about Knopfler. Why was David Knopfler fired from Dire Straits?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
He refused to practice.
Right.
He had a song recorded by Tina Turner. Do you know the name of the song?
Who, Mark Knopfler?
Yeah, wrote a song which Tina Turner... This was a bit of a surprise to me.
I think it's Private Dancer.
It is Private Dancer. Why do you only think? Why don't you know? How did you know?
The thought is in my head there, and I'm just not confident enough to just blurt it out. But I think it's Private Dancer.
You got nothing to lose.
Exactly correct.
And... I'm getting lost in my own notes here. What is Masiakosaurus Knopfleri?
I don't know, but I've just taken some medication for something similar.
Is it? Really?
I have no idea.
I didn't know that ailment still existed.
Yeah, tropical.
No, this is very interesting. It's actually a dinosaur that was named after him. Masiakosaurus Knopfleri. The researchers discovered bones from 6 specimens in Madagascar. Reported that they found the fossils while listening to Dire Straits.
Really? Is that how they got it? I thought it was only because the dinosaur maybe only had 2 fingers. So,
I'm going to give you a point for a creative wrong answer for that. But let's take a little break and listen to Mark Knopfler with Redbud Tree.
Hunted down, I came upon a place of ferns and grass, gathered to a redbud tree, and now their footsteps pass where I crouch in dread. Discovery, my certain death. The leaves are reaching for my head as I suspend my breath. Redbud tree, shelter me, shelter me. Redbud tree, shelter me, shelter me. Thank you.
city of Johannesburg is making strides in the rollout of its smart city program. The city, through its smart city drive, has rolled out 138 Wi-Fi hotspots on the Rea Vaya T1 and T2 routes, clinics, recreational centers, several customer service centers, and libraries. The city recently announced that the entire Braamfontein has now free 100% Wi-Fi access. Through this initiative, residents and students can now enjoy affordable transport and free Wi-Fi benefits.
For me, the struggle is over. But it used to be tough, eh? One pickup here, then it's too much. But you quoted me one load. But this is too heavy for one load. Well, I'm not paying for two. Yo, I struggled. But now I've got the Chevrolet Utility Iskorko. Still an easy van, but she carries more than 700 kilos. I live backy Iskorko. Yo, make your life easy with Chevrolet Utility at chevrolet.co.za. Viva Iskorko. Chevrolet. Find new roads.
Christmas is on the way, and so is the happiest family event of the year. The Parkview Charity Christmas Market at the George Hay Park in Parkview from the 27th to the 29th of November. The Christmas Market is a weekend of fun, unique arts and crafts, brilliant gift ideas, kids fun galore, big screen sports, a beer tent, and a champagne and oyster bar with continual live music. Parkview Christmas Market for a great time with all proceeds going to charity.
Hi, I'm David Shevers.
Hi, you're listening to Harry Sideropoulos.
I'm Malcolm Terry.
Hello, from Michael Richard.
Hello, from Fiona Ramsey.
And if you're listening to us, then you're lucky enough to be listening to Radio Today.
Today, South Africans share their lives with you here on Radio Today.
And on Radio Today, the scores are equal. 5 points all. And we're going to leave it as a draw there because we don't have time for another round because I actually want to play out with one of your songs, Kieran.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. Now, you've got a gig coming up this weekend that we want to talk about as well.
Yeah, we've got a couple. We're playing at a gig called the Grid and Grill.
And Ashley together.
Myself and my wife Ashley, we're playing at the Grid and Grill in Benoni. It's next to the Bunny Park on Friday night. And on Sunday afternoon, we play at a nice restaurant called Junipers, which is in the Hobart Centre in Bryanston. So right here.
Does it belong to Jennifer?
It doesn't. No, Donovan's not there either.
Right.
That was a Donovan tune, right? Wasn't it?
Yes.
So, Jennifer.
You're trying to get more points now.
I am.
No, the contest is over.
Junipers on Sunday afternoon.
Junipers, great. That's the Good and Grill in Benoni on Friday, and Junipers in
Bryanston on Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
Sunday afternoon. Yeah. They're a really good combo and really nice. Really nice to go and listen to them sing. And if you get tired of listening to them, you can just watch Ashley. Mind you, Karen's not exactly chopped liver either.
No, I get trumped in the looks department 100% there.
Well, some might as well. but I was saying earlier how Mark Knopfler for me is one of the great guitarists. Tell me, Russ, Kieran, if you agree or disagree. For me, the difference between a very good guitarist like Dan Campbell and a great guitarist like, say, Mark Knopfler is that even if you haven't heard the tune they're playing, you don't know what it is. As soon as you hear them playing, they have their own voice on the guitar. Mm. If I heard Glenn Campbell playing something that I didn't know was Glenn Campbell, I wouldn't recognize it as Glenn Campbell. I would say, oh, he's good, you know, he's a really good player. But you hear three notes of Knopfler and you know it's Knopfler.
Yeah, I mean, I picked out Steve Lukather the other day. It was a Lionel Richie tune, Running with the Night. And the guitar solo starts just burning away then. I'm like, that has to be Lukather.
It's got to be, yes.
Onto the internet there, and sure enough, he was the session player, you know.
Yeah, I think it's partly it's more than the guitar. It's him as a musician and the kind of sound and vibe he's going for, you know, in his arranging as well as just the tone. But tone is huge for me. I'm like a tone addict. Mm. I mean, it's a big part of playing the guitar.
Yeah. And I guess also, and I got the feeling, you know, when we were listening to Little Monk, that the tone is important, and it's for me the tone and the melodicness of it and the whatever emotional feel, if you want to call it, that you get from the music is a lot more important than playing very quick scales and very quick notes and up and down the neck.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so many guitarists that I've worked with as well who are technically so good and worked very hard, but the minute they solo, you kind of lose any reference to the melody that they're supposed to be varying or improvising on. And all they're doing is really putting together scales and licks that are very impressive, but don't actually speak anything.
Yeah, I wonder if that also doesn't come perhaps with age, you know, as a young player, especially if you're a good player and you learn a bunch of scales, then you want to go use those things as often as you can. And then when you get older a little bit, you realize that the scales is just kind of one part of it, and perhaps you want to start singing to people through the guitar.
And you discover Benny Goodman, who said that the... it's not the notes you play, it's the pauses between the notes.
Those sorts of things, yeah.
Yeah. Have you had, Russ, has there been any kind of conscious thought in developing your own particular style, or has it kind of evolved? your own voice, shall we say.
It evolves. I mean, if you by conscious thought, yes, there's conscious thought. But I think what you were really meaning was, did I plan it? Which is no. I mean, it evolves gradually based on your own sensibilities and what you enjoy discovering as you play the instruments. Same with composing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a discovery process, and something about your standards for yourself guides that process. Yeah. And just the prime driver of it is just desire to make beautiful sound.
Yeah. And does there come a point where you think, oh, I've developed a voice, and I did it because this is what I'm doing technically, and therefore now I've discovered what's technically produced my voice, the one will then feed the other?
I don't know. I don't observe it and say, oh, now I've developed a voice. I don't necessarily do that, but certainly the technical part of it is, you know, evolves in combination with the musical part.
I mean, for example, the minute I said, which I shouldn't have because it gave it away completely, the minute I said, you know, playing finger-picking style with a capo on electric guitar, you both immediately thought Mark Knopfler. And that very much for me is what part of the thing that produces his distinctive voice.
Well, yeah, I mean, he plays, from my knowledge, and he plays just with his thumb and his forefinger, you know.
Yeah.
And so he's not even a traditional finger picker in that sense. I think the tone is in your hands, you know, especially with an electric guitar. So
not especially. I mean, acoustic
as well.
Guitar, yeah, definitely.
Right.
I mean, because you have to draw the sound out of the wood, essentially.
Yeah.
So it is, but he's right. I mean, it's the way you attack. And a lot of it is how you use your left hand
totally,
as well.
And you know, just trying to, you just find a different way of hitting the strings. I mean, I play with a plectrum all the time. I'm not a finger picker guy like you guys, but you just find a different way, and the guitar just starts creating a different tone.
It starts to speak.
But I mostly play with the plectrum.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't put it down, but I do add a couple of fingers along with it. Particularly on something.
Are you playing with a thick plectrum or a thin one?
Sort of medium, you know, around a millimeter.
Okay,
maybe.
Right.
That was a more of a rhythmic piece, the Little Monk. But there's some other things on here that are more purely melodic.
So you always have the plectrum.
Yeah, I don't put it down.
In the hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Julian Laxton first taught me that.
Yeah.
I remember it was a folk music workshop back in the late 60s.
Right.
And he was doing a workshop on the style.
Right.
And somebody asked the question, well, why don't you just use a thumb pick? And he said, well, you've got so much more control over a plectrum.
Yeah, you do.
With a thumb pick.
I mean, it's where you hold it in your hands. It's how you...
And
all,
the tension, all, how you hold it.
All
and,
of that
yeah,
stuff. Yeah.
All of those things. Mm. Yeah. It's... And now, let's talk about your album, Kieran.
Yes.
Eddie's Left. It's called About Time.
It's About Time, yeah.
It's About Time. What did I say? It's called It's About Time. It's About Time we had it in the studio. Tell us the history of the album.
I mean, it is my only solo original music album. I did a lot of singing shows and musical theater stuff and that kind of thing. So, all of that kind of thing. But I was always writing. I wasn't writing enough, unfortunately. But it got to a point where I realized I had a bunch of songs and I really wanted to make an album. And a friend of mine had just come back from the States to produce the album. Not to produce my album, but he was here and he was available to produce it. So we went into a studio and we recorded it. And it cost a lot of money, which I'll never see again.
but it's something I'm incredibly proud of. My listener hears it,
they're gonna rush out. Yeah.
And of course, there's only one song on the album which you didn't write.
Yes, that's correct. Vincent, the Don McLean thing.
Yeah. How did that one sneak in? Why that one in particular?
Well, I mean, the song lyrically for me is important. It's about a troubled, deeply troubled guy. And I felt we could rearrange the song. It's nothing like the original.
Are you a deeply troubled guy?
I have gone through patches of deep trouble. Yes, let's put it that way. Yeah. So we felt we could bring an arrangement to the song which echoed the dark message that the lyrics present. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Don McLean's arrangement, of course.
No,
not.
No, no.
But ours is quite sinister.
Oh. Sinister.
Yeah, you can play it if you want. Number 12.
Is that the one you want to?
Well, it's up to you. This is your show.
No. This is your disc, and I don't know any of the songs. You did mention that. No, but that's quite a good one to play. We'll play out with that.
Play out with that.
But tell us about the journey, seeing as that we're playing the song.
The journey of this particular song.
Well, of your journey, which you referred to.
I lived the rock and roll lifestyle for a long time, and drinking got very out of hand to the point where I was paralytically drunk all the time, drinking in the morning and all of that kind of stuff. So I needed to make some changes, and I was lucky enough to find an AA group, which I still go to the AA eight and a half years later. And
is it still a hard road? I mean,
no, it's not hard anymore. I mean, there's still times and places, I guess, where the addict Kieran in the back of my head still screams for a drink, but he's very small and he doesn't speak very often.
And you just not touch it at all?
Oh, no, absolutely not. I won't eat dessert if there's potentially alcohol in the jar. Absolutely not. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, you're looking fantastic.
Oh, thank you, John.
I mean, I first
met you. But I'm a married man, so just calm down.
Well, this is what I'm saying. In spite of being a married man, you are looking fantastic.
Thanks. Well, you know, this is another thing. When you're younger, you just do a bunch of stupid things. Only when you get older, you realize you have to look after yourself, and you have to go to the gym, and you have to eat properly, and you have to stop drinking. And
I know the question that I wanted to ask Russ, you do use the fingers. Do you find you have to maintain the fingernails or fingers in any way to keep the techniques, or do you not worry about that?
Yeah, you do. I mean, I don't fuss with it a lot because I don't use a lot of nail, just a little bit in combination with the more fleshy parts of my finger.
The more fleshy part of the finger. This is what I was saying as well. The nail, I mean, I grow my nails to finger pick, but they keep breaking and they get stuck in the strings. So I keep them a bit short really just to support the fingers. I played only with fingers, even if I'm playing rock music. Mark Knopfler allowed me to do that. Guys, it's been fantastic having you in the studio. Kieran, you're on, remind us, Friday night. That's tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, Good and Grill in Benoni. And at Juniper's on Sunday afternoon.
Afternoon, what time do you start?
We start at 12, finish at 3.
12 to 3, yeah. Okay. And tonight at TJ's at Marks Park, is it just you on your own, or are you working with any other musicians?
Well, I think there's an opening act.
Is it? Who's the opening act, Fiamma?
Herringbone,
okay.
Yeah.
I was going to offer my services, but I got injured. I cut my finger with a paper knife. Have you ever had that, by the way? Have you ever had to cancel a performance or recording anything because of a stupid little accident where you cut your finger and it's impossible?
I don't
to
think
play.
So. I just, you know, I tough it out.
Right. And of course, the other thing which you mentioned when we were listening to Mark Knopfler is that you have actually played for Knopfler and Clapton.
Well, yeah. I mentioned the Transatlantic Sessions.
Yes.
So we do live concerts of that, and it's a like 15-piece band in big halls. And two of the guys that play with us in that are play in Mark Knopfler's band. So he came to the show that night, and some other people knew Clapton, so he was there. So it was a little nerve-wracking for me as a guitarist playing. I tried to put it out of my mind, and I did meet Mark, and he's a great guy. He made me very comfortable. And
nice responses from them afterwards.
Yeah, I didn't meet Clapton, but Mark was very nice. Yeah.
I once played Amazing Grace for Nelson Mandela.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't there at the time, but that's who I was playing it for.
Right.
Guys, it's been fantastic. We are going to... Kieran's album is called It's About Time. Is this available in the usual places?
Look and Listen, yeah.
At Look and Listen. Yeah. And, of course, if you Google it and find it on a website, you can order it online somewhere.
Or contact me on Facebook. You know, grab me on Facebook, yeah.
Right, that's Kieran Rennie, K-I-E-R-A-N. Like the Pollard, and Rennie
like
the tablets. Yeah, but we're not going to play a Kieran Rennie song. We're going to play the song we spoke about. So once again, thank you.
You're welcome.
Russ Barenberg.
My pleasure.
Thank you. And oh yes, Russ's CD. Is your CD available here?
I have some I'll be selling tonight, but I don't know if you can get it in the stores here. You can, you know, it's downloadable from iTunes and Amazon.
Okay, iTunes. So look for Russ Barenberg. The album is called When at Last, and Kieran's answered that by saying It's About Time. It's a bit of synchronicity there, but let's play out with Don McLean's song, Vincent, as performed by Kieran Rennie.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
In 12.
The last one. Are you confused, Eddie?
No, you said 11.
Did I?
No, we changed it.
Oh, we changed.
Starry night, paint your palette blue and gray. Look out on a summer's day with eyes that know the darkness in my soul. Shadows on the hill sketch the trees and daffodils. Catch the breeze and winter chills in colors on the snowy linen land. And now I understand what you try to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity, how you try to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now. Starry, starry night, flaming flowers that brightly blaze, swirling clouds in violet haze, reflect in Vincent's eyes of china blue. And now I understand what you try to say to me, how you suffered for your sanity, how you try to set them free. They would not listen, they did not know how. Perhaps they'll listen now.